Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger. I'm speaking with Wade Baker, Managing Principal of Verizon's Risk Team, and he's also the principal author of a recent report on data breaches. So while this report covered all industries, Wade is here to break out the stats from the healthcare part of the survey. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm glad to do it. Looking forward to the chat.
Well, so tell me a little bit about the data breach report. How many healthcare companies participated in the survey, and roughly what can you tell me about, you know, the size of healthcare company, and are they all providers, doctor's offices, and hospitals, or does healthcare really sort of cover people who might be business associates or payers, or how would you describe all that?
Gotcha. So taking the first question there about the data breach report, this is an annual study that we do, and the data set comes from real forensic investigations that are done after an organization suffers a breach, and we offer services that we go in and help them figure out what happened and clean up the mess and make recommendations and all that kind of thing. And the report also includes investigations done by various law enforcement agencies around the world. So it's kind of a global private partnership focusing on real incidents. And so we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now. And the main report was published back in March or April earlier this year. And what we've done now is we've kind of split out the last couple of years of this report into specific industries. So when you read the whole report, it's kind of hard to get a sense for what does healthcare look like, right? So we took 60 confirmed data breaches. That means data was actually stolen from one of these healthcare organizations. So there's 60 of those in the data set, and a lot of smaller healthcare, like clinics and offices, doctors, dentists, things like that, as opposed to the larger hospitals or research type facilities. So some of those are in there. And, we looked at how the breaches occurred, who was doing them, and all of those kinds of things, and the report presents those in about 10 or 12 pages. So it's kind of a highlight more than a full-fledged dissertation on these kinds of things.
So tell me what your team learned about healthcare data breaches overall.
Yeah, so I think the most surprising thing here is that, you know, most of the healthcare breaches centered around the way that these institutions collect and process payments. And maybe that won't surprise some people, but, you know, I was kind of expecting more targeting maybe of patient records just for the sake of getting those juicy details and doing something nasty with them. But a lot of the criminal activity here is centered on stealing data that is either can be used for fraudulent purchases, can be used for fraud like medical and healthcare fraud, some way turned into cash. And there's groups and black market processes and all of that are really geared toward stealing data, quickly turning it into illegitimate money. And that was really what characterized, I think, this data set more so than say, some of the other things you might expect from healthcare-related breaches.
Interesting. So it's more like credit card numbers and socials more than it would be, say, HIPAA-protected data, like what tattoos or home address or what provider they're seeing for what procedures.
That's correct. Certainly some of the latter was in there, but yeah, you know, and this kind of just reflects trends we've been seeing. It seems like this more mainline cybercrime, fraud-based stuff moves from industry to industry. And, you know, if you think about it, healthcare institutions, you have to accept payments, and that means you have people's names and socials and payment card numbers and bank accounts, and you have their Medicare information, all of that kind of stuff. And that's useful for committing fraud and identity theft. So, you know, they're a good target for that kind of thing.
So that's interesting that this report's findings don't necessarily mesh with the Health and Human Services HIPAA data breach reports, because it sort of points out that healthcare providers need to protect more than patient data, HIPAA information. There's more than that to the data they're handling on behalf of their patients.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's really two main reasons that this report is going to show some different things. And one of those is exactly what you said, that the reporting requirements around HIPAA mean that if patient data is lost, then you must report. And so when you compile the statistics around those reports, the trigger is going to be, HIPAA-regulated data theft. Whereas what we're looking at is really anytime a healthcare institution either calls us to come and investigate or works with a law enforcement agency. So even those two things right there are going to skew the results in a certain direction. For instance, when you look at HIPAA results, there's a ton of lost laptops and media and things like that where patient data is lost and then therefore is exposed to potential theft and must be reported. But, as a forensics provider, we just don't do those kinds of cases. So, most of ours are intrusions, network and system intrusions where someone broke in and, they took out a certain kind of information. So, when you divide things up like that, the findings are just going to look different.
Right. And so who's committing these acts? Are they sort of employees who get the keys to the network? Are they outsiders who are hacking in and it's poor security? How would you characterize that?
So if you go by the numbers, most of them, almost all of them, are external threats. So and organized criminal groups are a major part of that. And I know people start thinking of Godfather or something like that when you think organized crime. But if you think about organized crime on the internet, what we're really talking about are professional criminals that hack into organizations and steal data and have the processes and people and resources to turn that stolen data into profit. And that's basically what they do for a job. So, those are the kinds of groups that are perpetrating this crime against healthcare institutions, against retailers, hotels, restaurants, all financial services, all of those kinds of groups, really driven. And a lot of them are, for instance, from Eastern Europe, is where a lot of that originates. It's certainly not the only place, but that organized criminal element is definitely the strongest threat and who's doing it. Insiders sometimes, yeah. But again, in our data set, It's definitely the outsiders.
So what are the healthcare providers who were victimized? What were they doing wrong to let slip these data breaches?
Yeah, so, if you think about what they're trying to, or the responsibility that they have, they have an environment that has a lot of different types of information technology. There's often a lot of change going on. There's different structures of ownership and responsibility for managing those devices. There's numerous people that must access those devices, and they need different levels of access to those devices. And, of course, they need that access quickly, right? Because you can't go through 10 minutes of authentication when you need some critical piece of information for a patient. So that's just a very brief portrait of the challenges. But all of those things make protecting all of that infrastructure difficult, whereas from the attacker's point of view, all they need is one little chink in the armor or one easy way to get in. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's just not hard to find where one piece of infrastructure has maybe it has a weak password or it hasn't been patched up to date or something like that. That's just most of these breaches fall down to something simple that the organization knew that they should be doing. It just kind of fell through the cracks in the day-to-day operations of doing all of those things across all of those assets.
So how has the proliferation of mobile devices, iPhones and Blackberries and Android devices, does that make an organization, a healthcare provider, more vulnerable to data breaches, or are those things pretty well locked down? How would you characterize that?
Well, we get the question a lot, I think, especially being Verizon, that, do we see a lot of mobile devices, for instance, involved in these breaches? And we've been looking for it, and we do not usually see that the data was stolen or a mobile device was hacked. But, to your question, I do think that whether it's mobile devices or a laptop or anything else, home connections, we've been moving in the direction over the last 10 years of multiplying the number of ways that employees can access the internal network. And I think generally that makes it more difficult to protect internal resources because you just have a much more open front and you have to be more accepting from more devices coming from more locations and all of that kind of thing. And to that extent, we have seen the attackers focusing on that weakness, you know, the stolen credentials and trying to get in through remote access connections that are granted to those mobile devices and off-site work areas and homes and all of those kinds of things are very, very, very often how those external attackers find their way into the organization because those connections are hanging out there.
So last question, what advice do you have to healthcare providers, you know, whether they're small doctor's offices or maybe larger health systems who may be listening to this podcast, what advice would you have to sort of cross the T's and dot the I's and prevent future data breaches based on the information your investigation of these cases yielded?
Yep. So my first bit of advice goes back to something you mentioned earlier, which is, you know, if you're drawing a circle around what kind of data you're worried about, I think that circle needs to be bigger than just HIPAA-regulated data. You know, yes, patient data is seriously important and we need to protect it. But you also need to remember what's important to the people that are attacking you. And remembering that, hey, if it's useful for fraud, they will be interested in it. And then extending your circle of protection to where all of that stuff resides. Secondly, the proliferation of data inside of a company, whether they're healthcare or a small clinic, large hospital, is a big problem because the larger you have to draw that circle of protection, the more difficult your job is going to be. So, you know, I'm in favor of trying to centralize information so that it's not just floating around out on across the organization and on everybody's laptop and all of those kinds of things. And then third, I would say that going back to the problem I mentioned earlier where, you know, most of the breaches that we see tie back to something the organization knew they should be doing but kind of fell through the cracks. So I would recommend increasing the number of checks and balances that you put just to make sure that policies are actually enforced. And that can be done through various manual and automated ways, but really checking to see, are we really doing what we think we're doing? Because chances are the next breach will exploit something that you thought you were doing but actually weren't. And knowing when that happens is really important to protecting future breaches.
Well, this has been some great stuff. I think you've given our listenership here a few more things to chew on when they go back to evaluate their network security plans. Thanks for your time today.
Certainly. Thanks a lot for talking.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.